As I'd indicated, we are coming to the end of our time in examining, and this is not going to be the last time, because I know that everything will touch and concern different aspects of our covenant. But I appreciated Joey's text message, because this is one of the main reasons why God has us come together as a church. The sermon is entitled Contribute to the Local Assembly, Faith, Hope, and Love. You think that maybe that only comes in 1 Corinthians, but it doesn't. Faith, hope, and love, these are the fruits of our fellowship with God and with one another. We should be constantly thoughtful of the fact that when we come together in the Lord's house to worship together, we, as I've said many times, and I'll probably say it many more times, we need to be reminded of the fact that we are not inviting God to please come into our presence. Rather, God has already invited us into His presence in this place. We do not think about the fact that when we come to church, is God going to show up today and make Himself evident in our lives? Does He care enough to show up? In fact, I truly believe, and I think Scripture supports me on this, absolutely, that when we come in to the sanctuary, into God's house, God is here and He has invited you personally to come into His presence, which should change our mindset and our hearts on how we approach worshiping together. And why it's so important to not be looking for excuses and not coming to church, but looking for every reason and avoid every reason that would keep us from coming to church together. Along the same line, when we come to church, it should not be for the purposes of what we get from our assembly together. Oh, I just didn't feel the Lord's presence today. Church didn't really feel like church. When you come to church, when I come to church, it is not what can we get out of the assembly, but rather our motivation before our car leaves our driveway at home should be on what can we, Lord, contribute to our gathering together. Hebrews 10, 22 and 20 through 24, and I alluded to it a little bit last week in last week's message from the Lord, points out three great Christian virtues that evidence the fruit of our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and with one another. If you look in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, it talks about faith. Verse 23 is hope. And in verse 24 of Hebrews 10 is love. For the Scripture declares, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. I want to stop there for a moment. This is a eschatology concept. It is a last days concept. It is a end of times concept that concerns itself with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and all of humanity. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. These three virtues should motivate us to make the gathering together and provoking to love and good works of the highest priority, because the faithfulness of our fellowship with one another, what that does is that fans the flame of excitement as we see the parousia or parousia, which is the Latin term or the Greek term for the Lord's second coming, which is separate concept in theology as the day of the Lord, which deals with final judgment and as they draw near. The concluding clause of our church covenant states this, and you can see it there in your bulletin. We will seek the fellowship of another church when we move from this place. Now, I agree that each of us must be engaged in active and ongoing church fellowship somewhere. But if our inconsistent and our inconsistency in going to church now continues, how would our erratic church membership habits change if we go someplace else? What influences are causing us to neglect church, and of a more serious consequence, causes us to be disobedient to God? Now, before I go any further in talking about neglecting church, I would like to have us read together some factors, important factors, about why we need church. We need church now more than ever before. So if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 11. Now, every once in a while, I cannot help myself. So bear with me, because as I read through this, I have a couple of side notes that are very important. So as we're reading through this, I may take a battle pause, because I know that the Lord wants us to understand something very important in the reading of this passage. So hang in there with me, okay? But as to the times and the seasons, before I go any further, this is referring to the resurrection and those who have died in Christ. It's referring back to chapter 4. The Thessalonians were concerned about fellow believers, Christians, believers in Christ, that had died before Christ's return. And they were concerned about being with their loved ones again. And I'm telling you right now, Scripture is very clear. We will be reunited with our loved ones. That's a fact. God promises it. And it's talked about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's what Paul is talking about when he's talking about the times and the seasons. So rest assured, one another, we will be together with our loved ones, even those that have gone before us. Carrying on. Brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know well the day of the Lord. Now here, this is talking about the second coming of Christ, God's wrath and final judgment. And we read about that in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah, Joel, Amos, Zephaniah, and Malachi. The day of the Lord. And it will come like a thief in the night. Who else said those words? Jesus did in Matthew chapter 24. He will come, and it will be sudden, and it will be unexpected. When people say there is peace and security, giving you a little bit of history, that phrase, peace and security, was the Roman Empire's official mantra called Pax Romana. See, everybody was relying upon peace and security that the Roman Empire was providing at the time. That's where their faith, that's where their trust was in. Then suddenly, destruction. Destruction here talks about being separated from God, will come upon them as travail. Now, travail means labor. Coming upon a woman with child, and there will be no escape. I am telling you, it will be totally unavoidable. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You see, the promise of Christ's return is not something that we as believers dread. It actually is a hope. And you know what? It is joy. It should give us joy that He has promised us that He will return. For verse 5, for you are all sons of light. That means good, pure, true, holy. You are reliable. The sons of the day, that's God's people. We are not of night. And when he talks about night here, he's talking about evil or of the darkness. The darkness is sinful people in this world. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night. They're talking about their moral indifferency. These people are morally indifferent. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. In other words, they lack clear-headedness. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on, and I think VBS talks about this, so I know our youth and our children remember the armor of God, put on the breastplate of faith and love. You know what that does? The breastplate does? It protects our heart. And for a helmet to stay focused on the goal. And what is our goal? Can God's word be any more clearer? Our goal is God's eternal kingdom and the hope of salvation. We are in a spiritual battle and we have a responsibility to be ready. Verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath or punishment, but to obtain salvation. See, we are destined not for punishment, but each of us that are believers in Christ are destined for the blessing through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we wake, that means that we're still alive, or whether we sleep, in other words, we have already gone to be with the Lord. We have died. We might live with Him. Salvation is certain because we are sealed in a new covenant with God. Now we get to the therefore. Verse 11. Therefore, because of all that, remember the gathering together? The assembling together? Therefore, encourage one another. See, he reverts back to chapter 4, verse 18. The certainty of believers' eternal life and the reunion with our loved ones that have gone on before us. And build one another up. Standing together when we're dealing with difficult issues. When we come into God's house and we assemble together, God does not want us to put on the proverbial lipstick, do our hair, wear nice clothes, and pretend everything is okay. When it is, let's be joyful together. But a lot of times, we're hurting and we're afraid to be judged. God has set us free from being judged. God has given us the Holy Spirit in our life to keep us from being sinful and judging others. We need to be together because now more than ever, we need to bear one another's sorrows and hurts. Just as you are doing. May the Lord bless you exceedingly in the reading of His Word. Now, Bible teacher, preacher, and former dean of students at Oklahoma Christian University, Dr. Mike Mazzalongo, he pointed out 9 reasons, and I am absolutely confident because I've heard them, and you know what? I probably have tried to do it myself. Excuses for why people miss church. Let me tell you the 9 reasons that he brings up. One of the reasons why a lot of people miss church is because most of the people in the world are not Christians. That is why it is so important about the work of our outreach team in our community. It's vital to carry out the Great Commission, which actually should be all of our mission. The second one is the habit of irregular attendance stemming from past dealings with illness. Now, I know, just like you, how illness can keep us away from church. We've just gone through and are still involved in this pandemic, and there is great reason. And I thank the leadership of our deacons and the leadership in the church here in being very mindful of one another during our time of our pandemic. But the point is that the illnesses that come from that, or the potential illnesses, it broke our habit of regular attendance. That cycle of faithfulness gives us excuse as to why we don't come to prayer time on Wednesday night, why we don't come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, why we don't come to worship on Sunday at 11 o'clock, Sunday night. Those kind of things is because our cycle of faithfulness has been broken. We're using past illnesses as excuses as to why we don't come. And I will tell you, in my personal opinion, there are some amazing examples of people in this congregation who have been able to push through that and show that example of faithfulness in coming. Thank you, Jerry and Glow. We all have continual changes going on in our lives. Moving, school, marriage, new jobs. And these changes interrupt our routine, including church attendance. It's easy to say when you move or when you get married or anything like that that is changing in our lives, it's easy to say, I'll get around to church again once I sort out all those things that are going on in my life. The problem is that church never gets unpacked in the move. A fourth one is that we're working too much. We would rather get ahead in the world than get ahead in God's kingdom. The fifth one is new believers are young in their faith who need to develop regular church attendance. And those that are mature in Christ in our church body need to be able to say, hey, do you need a ride? Should I come get you? Am I going to see you at church? Not to make them feel guilty, but to set an example. I remember when I was just prayed to receive Christ in my life, September 27, 1974, 10:30 at night. A very good friend of mine who is a giant former Marine, he's John Lamb, he would invite me to go to Bible study. And you know, I would make every excuse. Now, you got to understand that I was very, very young. I was a big strapping young man, 265 pounds, and I played, you know, football and had other macho things to do. But every time he would come and ask me, hey, Ron, you want to go to Bible study? And I'd say, no, I'm too tired, not today. One day, after he came to the door, said, hey, you want to go to Bible study? I said, no, not today. I got out of bed and looked out the window, and there he is, walking through the snow, going across campus to go to Bible study. And I was so doggone convicted, I put my pants on and my boots, and I ran across campus. And when he walked in the door of that Bible study, there I was sitting. And what the conviction was because of his faithfulness in word and in deed. Number six, this is different from working too hard, it's that I'm too busy. You remember the parable of the sowers and the 4 different types of soil? You had the hard pathway, the hard ground, then you had the ground that had the rocky places, and then you had those that had the thickets of the thorns, and then you had the good soil. And we all want to be, Lord, make us all good soil. Well, the third one is what is talked about in Mark chapter 4. It says this, "And those others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are those who heard the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choked the word, and it proved unfruitful." The person who is too busy for going and attending church will eventually be choked out and rendered spiritually unfruitful. The seventh one that Mike talked about is not going to church because you're offended or you're hurt or you're hurting by what somebody said or somebody did in church. Let's not offend God for offenses committed against us. Don't we pray, forgive those who trespass against us? But rather let us humble ourselves and ask one another for help and pray in times of conflict or hurting together. Do you know that if you do that, this will build trust and develop spiritual character in your life and in the character of our church? How about, I just don't feel like making the physical or mental effort to go to church. This is a person who is basically lazy. If you're lazy, you just need to acknowledge that is sin and ask God to help you overcome it, because in many forms, each and every day, laziness will make its way to the surface, especially on Sunday. If you are submitting to the temptation of laziness, then you really don't understand the urgency of our work for Christ and the permanency of all things upon His return. Finally, let me ask you this question. Are you a Demas? Are you a Demas? Demas, I love that. It's a Greek name. It means popular. You see, in Colossians 4 and Philemon 24, Demas was among the Apostle Paul's helpers and faithful disciples. Unfortunately, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." So I'll ask you again, are you a Demas? In other words, do you love and desire to pursue the popularity and the darkness of this world, or are you more in love and desire the pursuit, the light of Christ? Worldliness is such a deceptive vice. See, worldliness eats away at your spiritual life quietly and without pain until you are basically cold and dead in Christ. But you know what? You don't realize it until it's too late. And can you guess what is the first casualty of worldliness? It's our regular church attendance. Whatever your rationalization is, as a reasonable excuse in your mind to avoid church attendance. By the way, I want to make this comment. Going to church, you know what? You never have to give an excuse if you go to church. And you know what? It never leaves you with any regrets that you went to church. I guarantee you that Satan is feeling pretty good about the fact that your exposure to God's word and to others is diminishing. When you give these excuses, Satan's pretty excited about that. Going to church regularly, even while on a business trip or on vacation, should not be a legalistic obligation, but rather viewed as a privilege to come into God's presence with other believers. Now, why? Why should we pursue or set our face to do that? Well, let me highlight some important reasons why we need to be attending church regularly. I'm going to give you three reasons. The first one is, attending church regularly pleases God, which is what life is all about. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We needed to be doing that together. It pleases the Lord. The second one is attending every service. It strengthens our faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. It pleases God. It strengthens our faith. And the third one is it builds the church. Remember I talked about faith, love, and hope of salvation? These are good defenses against evil and chaos and danger and sorrow and death, which are caused by dark activities. Attending church proclaims Christ to each other and to our community. It provides an example to others. It contributes towards the needs of the saints. You have needs. This church should be able to help meet your needs. And it demonstrates our support to our leadership in our church. I'm here to tell you, I want to park on that for just a second. Your attending church, my attending church, it demonstrates our support to our deacon board. It demonstrates our support to your pastor. It demonstrates our support to the church, to the worship planning team, Lori and Judy and Francis and Jeff and Jacob and Ken and all those that are a part of the church. It supports our Sunday school class teachers. Your faithfulness, listen, your faithfulness in attending church is the cornerstone upon which the building of our congregation itself rests. I'm going to repeat that. Your faithfulness in attending church is the cornerstone upon which the building of our congregation itself rests. Church is more than just a place. It's a fellowship. It's a community. It's a group of people from all walks of life who have one major thing in common: salvation through Jesus. People need to meet together every week because God knows you and I, we need a shelter during life's storms, which the church can provide. It is my view that God does not call you away from somewhere unless He is calling you to somewhere else first. This includes when you move from the fellowship of this place. The Lord makes it clear that we are not to forsake the gathering ourselves together. We fellowship together in order to glorify Him in corporate worship, and because each of us, we need spiritual encouragement and building one another up. It can only come from fellow believers in Christ. The body of Christ, the church, is not a private country club or a day spa designed to satisfy your personal wants and desires. The object of our worship is to please God, not ourselves. Among many reasons, we have a divine direct mission to meet the needs of each other and to do the work of the ministry in our community here in Piedmont and around the world. Just because it may be inconvenient on yours or my busy time schedule, or there may be interpersonal relationships. You may have an interpersonal relationship with somebody that you're really struggling with. I'll tell you a really quick story. A guy by the name of Jeff. I was at a place called King's Arrow Ranch in Lumberton, Mississippi. And there was a guy there. I may have told you this story before, but bear with me. He was a J. Harvey Milquetoast. And I didn't care for him. And I went, and God convicted me and said, you're not supposed to like each other. You're supposed to love each other. Now, at that time, I was pretty immature, And I went up to Jeff and I said, Jeff, I want you to know I cannot stand you. But God tells me I'm not supposed to like you. God tells me I'm supposed to love you, and I need you to help me because I literally cannot stand you. And you know what? You go or I go, but I'm staying. And during that time, I realized that it was my hang-up. It was my problem, not Jeff's problem. And by the end of that summer, Jeff was my best friend. And it came because I submitted to the Lord, and we need to submit to one another. So if you have an interpersonal struggle with somebody in the church, you deal with it. You go talk to them. Bring me involved. The deacons would be glad to help. This is not a reason to leave the church for the sake of leaving the church. In fact, I would submit that these may be very well unveiled revelations from the Holy Spirit that God is calling you to meet someone else's unmet need and should inspire you to engage in helping to meet a deficiency that our God has given you a spiritual talent, time, treasure, something that can be used to meet and fill that need in our church. God has called you here to First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, to do His work and to do it zealously as unto the Lord. You can either run away and leave like Jonah did, and we all know how that turned out, right? Or you can pick up a tool by serving on a committee or join the outreach team and rebuild the broken and destroyed lives in our community like Nehemiah did. Whether God has called you to stand your ground and serve at First Baptist Church or He is sending you out to another place in need of His saving grace, you will not survive unless you are prayerful and diligent in seeking the fellowship of another Christ-centered church when you leave and move from this place. Cultivate the habit of regular church attendance and get involved in the work here at First Baptist Church. If you set your heart and your mind to please God in all things, you know what He's going to do? He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you for your faithfulness. David Gunderson's article entitled "The Most Important Time to Go to Church," he concludes that God has institutionalized our gathering together as a main way to get us out of our comfort zone and allow Him to mature, strengthen, and comfort us, while at the same time using us to bless others in the process. I love what Pastor Trevin Wax said on the purpose of church. Listen to this as we conclude. We do not go to church because of guilt. We are the church because of grace. Always remember, each of us have made this oath to the Lord and to each other, and God will surely hold you and I accountable to keep all these promises set forth in our church covenant. If you here that are in our sanctuary or those that are watching online, if you have never received Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you can come to the Lord right now and receive the free gift of salvation, His forgiveness of all your sins, and He wants to give you the freedom that you have in the Holy Spirit, in providing the Holy Spirit in your life, so that you can put on the full armor of God today and to begin to bear the fruit of His Spirit. Would you not want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life? How could you say no to that? He's got an eternal plan for you. You just need to come to Him and ask today. You come.